Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 25th day of August, 2018. Sabbath greetings to those on the phone or those joining us on the recording, and glad to have you with us in fellowship today. Before we get into our study book, let us please bow our heads and our knees. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy love and blessings, for making possible our salvation. And we ask that you'll please continue to dwell with us, rule in this home church and in each heart. And please bring us into thy marvelous light of truth today. Dear Savior, we also ask that you'll continue to dwell with us and dispel darkness in our hearts with your righteousness and truth. And especially fill our hearts with your love. And dear Spirit, we also pray that you will be with us to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error, to reprove, correct, and instruct us in righteousness, and let us know what sins we have registered against our name in the record books of heaven, that we might be earnest in confessing and repenting of these sins and being covered with the precious blood of our Savior, washed clean to be clothed in his precious robe of righteousness. Thank you that we're a day closer to eternal life, and help us to get more and more prepared to meet our Lord in the clouds of the air. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst and for opening our understanding to thy word of truth. In thy name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and we're continuing in our study book of Desire of Ages, and you can find this study book on our website at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. And we're in chapter 59, titled Priestly Plottings. And we're about two-thirds of the way down on page 538 to the paragraph that starts out, The Miracles That He or Christ Performed. And we had just finished with the chapter, Lazarus Come Forth, where Christ had given the greatest evidence and proof that he was indeed the Son of God, that he was the resurrection and the life. And this greater light, this greater evidence of his divinity as well as his messiahship, was spurned by the Jewish rulers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They recognized it was a miracle. It was evidence that Christ was the Messiah, but they hated him the more because the greater the light that was shed upon them to lead them to give up their errors and embrace the Savior just led them to hate him more. So even though all he did was share truth, the church leaders did not love the truth. They hated it. And the greater the light shed upon them, the greater their hatred grew against the light, as well as against the messengers of the truth. And the same thing is going to take place today. We know that the lamb-like beast, or the United States, is going to speak with the voice of the dragon and raise persecution against those who share the truth that they hate, because it exposes their beliefs and their actions to be darkness, error, falsehood, and they don't want to give those things up. They love the darkness. So the greater the light that is shared to try and overcome the darkness, the greater their hatred of the light and the greater their love of the darkness. So because Christ revealed evidence that showed the wrong positions of the Jews, they hated him and wanted revenge against him for daring to expose their beliefs to be wrong. And several times they attempted to stone Christ, but each time he was protected and left their midst, leaving them wondering, where did he go? He was right here. He still had a work to do, and God was going to protect him as long as that work needed to be completed. It's the same with us. We have nothing to fear from our enemies, from those who hate the truth, from those who want revenge upon us for sharing the truth that exposed their errors. We have nothing to fear, because as long as God still has a work for us to do, there's nothing that the enemy or any of his agents can do against us. God is in control. And now we pick it up at this new paragraph. The miracles he performed on the Sabbath were all for the relief of the afflicted, but the Pharisees had sought to condemn him as a Sabbath breaker. Now, was Christ really breaking the Sabbath by doing good? And of course the answer is no. So the Pharisees hated the truth, and they were going to grab onto any action of Christ and twist it to where they could complain about him or accuse him of breaking God's law and being a sinner. So no matter how extreme it was, no matter how far they had to twist the actual facts, they were going to do it to try and turn the people against him, to try and lessen the witness of Christ to them, to try and destroy his ministry. So no matter how outrageous the lie may be, they were going to use it, because some will always believe a lie before they believe the truth. So the Pharisees sought to condemn Christ as a Sabbath breaker for keeping the Sabbath. Continuing. They had tried to arouse the Herodians, or the state officials, against him. They represented that he was seeking to set up a rival kingdom and consulted with them how to destroy him. To excite the Romans against him, they are government officials, they had represented him as trying to subvert their authority. They had tried every pretext to cut him off from influencing the people, but so far their attempts had been foiled. The multitudes who witnessed his works of mercy and heard his pure and holy teachings knew that these were not the deeds and words of a Sabbath breaker or blasphemer. Even the officers sent by the Pharisees had been so influenced by his words that they could not lay hands on him. In desperation, the Jews had finally passed an edict that any man who professed faith in Jesus should be cast out of the synagogue. In other words, disfellowshipped. And these very same actions by church leaders who hate the truth are occurring today. But regardless of what consequences come because of our choice to stand for the truth and for Christ, God will take care of us. And praise his holy name for being so mercifully kind. And who'd like to read the next paragraph?
So as the priests, the rulers, and the elders gathered for consultation, it was their fixed determination to silence him who did such marvelous works that all men wondered. Pharisees and Sadducees were more nearly united than ever before. Divided hitherto, they became one in their opposition to Christ. Nicodemus and Joseph had in former councils prevented the condemnation of Christ, and for this reason they were not summoned. There were presented at the council other influential men who believed in Jesus, but their influence prevailed nothing against that of the malignant Pharisees.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. So the priests and the rulers and the elders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even though there were differences in doctrinal beliefs between them, were more united together than ever before in their hatred and opposition of Christ. The Sadducees hated Christ because he exposed their belief that there is no resurrection to be false, using scripture to show it to be false. They hated him because of that, because now they'd have to change their entire doctrinal system in order to give up the error and come into harmony with biblical truth. They were unwilling to do that. That would hurt their pride. That would lead them not to be as respected among the people because, they had it wrong for all these generations. So they loved their influence, their position, their standing among the people more than they loved the truth. So here was a unity taking place among previous foes or differences in belief among religious leaders. They were willing to give up their doctrinal differences and unite upon the common goal of putting down Christ. And the same thing is going to take place in these last days. Those who stand up for the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, and present the biblical truth of Saturday being from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, the Sabbath, God's holy day, are going to be opposed by all the churches of Sunday keepers around the world. And even though all of these Protestant sects and Catholic organizations and everything else, including paganistic believers, who also uphold Sunday, the day of the sun, they're going to waive all of their doctrinal differences with each other and unite together on the common goal of putting down the Sabbath keepers, those preaching the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, because they hate the truth and they love darkness. But notice here, the last sentence brought out the fact that even though Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were not invited to this particular council, yet there were other men on that council that believed in Jesus. And they tried to stand up for Jesus and show that, you know, if he was not of God, he could not do these marvelous things. But that had no weight with the malignancy of the Pharisees. Mal means bad, corrupt, evil. So no matter what they shared, no matter what truth they brought forth, no matter what principles of righteousness they tried to bring out in their defending of Jesus, it had no effect against the corrupt and evil church leaders. I mean, if you love darkness more than light, you're not good. You're evil. And so you can see that no matter how much truth Christ shared, all those who do not love the truth would not be benefited by it. Even if an angel literally came down preaching the truth, it would have no effect. They would find some reason to ignore it, some reason to doubt it. Even if someone rose from the dead and started preaching the truth, it would have no effect because their heart did not want the truth. And it's the same today. Only those who love the truth will be saved. And all those who hate the truth, who love darkness more, will be lost. Now, the devil can't force us to love darkness, and God can't force us to love the truth. It's a choice that each of us makes. And if you're not willing to follow the truth because it's truth, then you're not going to be set free from the error. But it's going to bind to you and envelop you and bring you down. But if we desire to follow the truth, then Christ will do everything that he possibly can to set us free from all darkness. And he promises to do so. The truth shall set you free in Christ Jesus, and you will be free indeed. That's God's promise. We have to choose the truth before we're set free. Any other thoughts? Any other questions or comments before we continue?
I just want to say praise God for giving us the power of choice, because without dear Jesus coming to save us, we would all be lost.
Amen. Praise God indeed. Out of love and merciful kindness did he come to save us and set us free from the hard taskmaster. Amen. Happy Sabbath to you too, dear brother. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Yet the members of the council were not all agreed. The Sanhedrin was not at this time a legal assembly. It existed only by tolerance. Some of its number questioned the wisdom of putting Christ to death. They feared that this would excite an insurrection among the people, causing the Romans to withhold further favors from the priesthood and to take from them the power they still held. The Sadducees were united in their hatred of Christ, yet they were inclined to be cautious in their movements, fearing that the Romans would deprive them of their high standing.
Thank you, dear brother. So what were both the Sanhedrin and the made up of Sadducees and Pharisees and other elders, what were they fearful of in their endeavors to put Christ to death? Amen. They were fearful of losing their power not of breaking God's law, not of murdering an innocent man, but of losing their standing and their power among the people, among the Romans. That's what darkness does to you. It blinds you to the reality of your actions, the reality of your plans. And all you can see is more darkness. And yet you think that it's light. You're caused to believe the lie because you did not love the truth. So the Sadducees feared that the Romans would deprive them of their standing if they put Christ to death. The Pharisees and other church leaders feared that the people themselves would rise up against their actions of putting Christ to death, and that would then cause the Romans to enter in and hold the Sanhedrin guilty for this riot. So you can see that their hatred of Christ was not yet stronger than their love of power and position among the people. Their love for power and position was greater than their hatred for Christ at this time. So if you look at it from this aspect, there was still hope to lead them to embrace the Savior, because their hatred of him was not yet full. But the greater the darkness that you're enveloped in requires greater light, greater intensity of light to break through. And that's sort of the dilemma. Because if you hate the truth and you're filled with darkness, out of love and mercy for your soul, because he doesn't want it lost, God will send greater light to break through that greater darkness. And if you've already hated the truth in the past, then there's a good chance you're going to hate the greater light that comes to you. So it's really a dilemma. God doesn't want to see you lost, but in order to wake you up, he has to shine greater light upon you. And then there's a good chance you'll just reject the greater light. So then in order to try and reach you again, God has to share even greater light with you. Until finally the greatest light of all has been shared to try and dispel the greatest darkness on you. And if you reject that, there's no greater light to shine. You're lost. So God will do everything that he possibly can to wake you up so that you will not be destroyed. But he can't force you to accept the light and avoid destruction. It's our choice. And our choice is founded upon who we love more. The darkness, which is actually the devil, or the light, which is actually Christ. Who do you love more? And in loving self, you are loving darkness. So not all members of the council were agreed on how to go about fulfilling their common united plan to murder Christ. And since they were not yet all united or agreed upon the way to put Christ to death, there was still hope to wake them up. A question in the room, you can't love yourself? Well, there's a selfish type of love, and then there is a godly type of love. The selfish type of love is what Lucifer exhibited in heaven, and what caused his downfall is that he loved himself more than he loved God, than he loved righteousness, than he loved truth. And because he loved himself more, then he was willing to start a war in heaven to dethrone Christ and dethrone God the Father so he could take their place. That's a selfish type of love. Now, in a godly form of love, we can love ourselves from having respect that God has preserved us, has led us into the truth, and wants to make us his temple. So in that aspect, we're going to take care of our bodies. We're going to follow the 8 laws of health. We're going to exhibit the fact that because God loves us, then we can love ourselves as well, but in a godly way, not a selfish way. And in loving ourselves, we're going to preserve this human temple and make it a temple for God and Christ and the Holy Spirit to dwell in, to rule in. Which means we're going to eat the right things, we're going to dress the right way, we're going to allow only good things into our mind, whether seeing or reading or hearing. We're going to trust in divine power, we're going to get enough sleep, we're going to get enough air and exercise, all of this to preserve our health so that we can then minister to others and represent Christ. So there is a proper way to love oneself, and then there is an improper way or a selfish way of love. And that's true. In keeping God's commandments, we are not only respecting ourselves, but we are showing love to God. So on the council of the Sanhedrin, not everyone was in agreement on how to go about fulfilling the common purpose or goal of putting Christ to death. But that was their goal. And we can see that same type of murderous spirit occurring today, and it will continue to increase. Not all Sunday-keeping churches are yet in agreement that Sabbath keepers must be put to death. There's still hope to reach them, but the greater the amount of light that is shared upon them, if they don't love the light, will bring about a greater increase in hatred of the light and a greater darkness that envelops them. Which means in mercy, God shares even greater light to dispel the darkness. And they make a choice to accept the greater light and change or reject the greater light and have even greater darkness, which means their hatred of the light will grow. And pretty soon, all the Protestant apostate churches will be in unity in coming against the truth as it is in Jesus, including the Sabbath truth. Even to the point of having laws passed by the U.S. government, the legislature, to enforce a Sunday law under penalty of death for those who do not obey. And that will then go worldwide. The lamb-like beast will speak with the voice of the dragon. Just like we see taking place among the Jewish church leaders. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? A question that says, why do people hate Sabbath keepers? And that's a good question. The Bible says that those who do not love truth, love the light, hate it because it exposes their works, their actions to be evil. So Sabbath keepers are following the fourth commandment of God's Ten Commandments, having scripture to back up their actions, and they bring this light of truth about the Sabbath to others. If the people who hear about the Sabbath truth do not want to change, they're comfortable in their worldliness. They're comfortable in going to church on Sunday. They're comfortable in not having any religion at all. The light hurts their lifestyle. And so they reject the light. They hate the truth because it forces them to recognize their actions, their beliefs are evil and wrong, and they don't want to change. But instead of just hating the light, they also hate those who brought them the light, who actually exposed their errors. And so that's why Sabbath keepers are hated, is because keeping the Sabbath according to the Bible guidelines exposes the errors of everyone else in the world who are not also keeping the Sabbath according to the Bible guidelines. And they don't like their errors exposed. So that's where the hatred comes in, and it's only going to grow. So thank you for your question. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments or questions?
In keeping the Sabbath, it throws light on the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, and people will realize that they're not keeping that day. And it also shines a light on their past life, and it allows the Holy Spirit to convict them of all of the sins they've committed. And then they know they have to ask forgiveness for those sins. It's kind of a painful existence until you know that God has forgiven every sin. They don't like Sabbath keepers because God has forgiven them.
Amen. I mean, the devil can give you 1,000 different reasons to hate the light. And he knows that because human beings are different, have different likes and dislikes, that one argument isn't going to fit all. So he has 1,000 different arguments and excuses to reject the light, to give up the Sabbath or whatever other truth it may be, the state of the dead or anything else. And so it really boils down to this. Who do you love? If you love Christ, then you're going to follow the truth because you love Christ. If you love sin and the devil, then you're going to follow the devil because you love his actions. You love his character. And God only has one true church made up of people who love him and keep his commandments. But the devil has 1,000 different organizations that follow him, but in a different way. So you have the pagans that follow the devil, you have apostate Christianity that follows the devil, you have Catholicism and Buddhism and all the other isms out there that love darkness. They may claim to have some light of truth, and they may have some light of truth. I mean, even the Catholics believe that Christ is the Son of God, which is truth, but they have a whole slew of mixture of other paganistic and Christian doctrines mixed together, which is confusion. Amen. So the devil knows that as there's a multitude of different likes and dislikes among people, he has to have a multitude of different organizations to connect them with him. But God only has one true church, and it's made up of people who love God and keep his commandments. So it's not this denomination or that denomination. It's not this home church or that home church. It's made up of converted hearts. Those people, individuals who love God and keep his commandments, and where Christ is in their midst, that is God's true church. So in our gathering together here, perhaps not everyone in this group today are part of God's true church. Because God's true church is made up of those who love God and who keep his commandments. Not those who say they love God and who know the Ten Commandments. Amen. God's true church is made up of people, not places. Amen indeed. And amen, Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, and Christ's name just does not mean Jesus. It means his character as well. So where two or three are gathered together in my righteous character, there am I in the midst of them. So the devil is going to have the entire world, majority-wise, on his side through all these various organizations. And he's going to have all the wicked on his side, whether they're part of a religious organization or not. And he's going to have all of the governments of all the world enforcing his laws, Sunday worship, not being able to buy or sell unless you go along with Sunday worship and receive the mark of the beast. But he's not going to have every single human being on the earth enlisted in his camp. Because there's going to be a few faithful who remain true to God because they love him and his truth. And even if you may be all alone in the darkest, dankest prison cell that the earth has, you and your guardian angel make two. And where two or three are gathered together in the name and character of Christ, there is Christ in your midst. So you have nothing to worry about. Christ will never leave you or forsake you. World without end. He'll be with you every step of the way. Even though to all sight and understanding, it may appear that you're all alone. But you're not alone. And the devil will not be able to do anything against you that God doesn't agree with. So you really have nothing to worry about. And if you think about it, if you're connected with Christ, and Christ is connected with God, and God is connected with all the unfallen universe, then it doesn't matter if the majority of the world is against you. Because they're really not a majority. The greater majority stands with God. So connected with God, you're in the vast majority. Even though on this wicked earth, you may be in the least minority. So do we love the truth more than we love ourselves? Are we willing to stand for the truth, even though in doing so we jeopardize our life? Or do we love our life more than we love Christ? So it all boils down to, who do you love more?
I'm sorry, Elder Rob. My father said he wanted to say something.
Dear brothers and sisters, I plead that you pray for me because I invited my only brother, who is a staunch Catholic, to study the Bible with me. He hesitated a moment, we were on the phone. I know he was thinking about it. Then I said, do you have a Bible? He said, yes, I have 3 of them. I said, we only need one. I'd like to sit down with you and invite Christ to be in our midst, because he said, where two is gathered, he is present. I know I will need him to guide my indication spiritually, because I know my brother does not follow the Word of God in the way it should be. I don't want him to be lost. And I wish the Lord would put the right words in my mouth and the right scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can open his eyes and we can leave the world on the outside and try to see Christ and his commandments. I know he's a society person, like many of our graduate friends that we keep surrounding with, but they do not embrace the Sabbath, because society-wise, Saturday is a very important day for them. They go out and they go doing sports and all the different activities that world we like. And I know they do that because they really don't know God. They say they do. They go to their churches. But they really don't know the love of God. Because if they did, they would embrace the Bible and try to study his word, so the word could guide them into gospel truth. So, Brother Bob, and all my sisters and brothers in the chat room. Say a prayer for me, because I know it's not going to be easy for me, but I pray the Lord will give me the anointment to be able to speak to my brother.
Well, thank you, dear brother Rodolfo, for letting us know your need and asking for prayers. We will indeed be praying for you. In fact, let us bow our heads now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a God that's close at hand through Jesus Christ and not one far off. And we come before thy throne through Jesus and pleading with thee that you will please hear and answer our brother's petition and request, that you will be with him, that you will give him the words of wisdom, that you will pour your spirit out upon him. And dear Spirit, lead and guide him in everything that he says. Direct his attention to the Bible texts that are needed and the words that will reach his brother's heart. We pray especially for Brother Benny, that you will work upon his heart, prepare his heart to receive the words from on high. Open his understanding to the wrong ideas and beliefs that he has, and let him fall in love with the truth, because it comes from his Savior, Jesus. Work a miracle of conversion upon his heart and bring him away from all false doctrine into thy marvelous light of truth. And let him be so fully convicted and converted to the truth that no matter what pressure may be put upon him by other relatives or friends, associates, it will not budge him one bit away from standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. Please also shut Satan out of this issue. Prevent the devil from doing anything to keep this study from taking place, or to prevent Benny from understanding and following the truth. And we claim Job 5:12, Psalms 33:10, Psalms 140 verse 8, Proverbs 22:12, 10:21, and 21:1, and 10:24 and 21:1, that Satan cannot do anything in any way to prevent the truth from reaching Benny's heart. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer and these promises, and for being with our dear brother Rodolfo. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, thank you, dear brother, for letting us know your need, and also know that we will be keeping you in prayer from this point on, so that your dear brother may indeed be reached with the truth, and Lord willing, converted to it. So, dear ones, is there any other thoughts, any other comments or questions before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead. Well, next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph in this council. And whoever would like to offer closing prayer for this service, please go right ahead.
Bow your heads, please. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful for every member of this room, that you are here in the midst of us and the Holy Spirit, and you have heard our prayers. Comfort us with your love. Implant your love in our hearts for others, and keep the devil out of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And so next time we'll find out what this council actually decided to do regarding Christ and even Lazarus. And so we hope to see you next Sabbath for adult and youth Sabbath school. And so let us go ahead and take a 10-minute break and then return back here just before 20 after 11 Pacific time or 20 after 2 Eastern time. And so we'll see you then, dear ones.